Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Daily Dissuasion, a podcast where I dissuade you from things. Today, we are joined by Elizabeth, Sean, and Coleman.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
What is up?
And today, we're going to be talking about the negative effects of social media and why we all think that you should stop using social media. So, to start things off, Sean, do you have anything that you want to bring up?
Yeah, I'm here mostly for tea and hot takes. And so I want to talk about the controversial hearing with the TikTok CEO by the congresspeople.
Yeah, what about them?
What about them? So there's a 5-hour long C-SPAN video on YouTube that I didn't bother to watch because I'm not paid enough for this. But I did watch a 13-second editorialized version of it. I don't remember
on
from
TikTok,
which source.
Probably.
On TikTok. But it brought us some pretty good points. The problem is that the anti-social media points were made by bigots, so we're going to try to remove the bigotry. But basically, in the ether of life, TikTok has increased the level of mental health problems in youth. From my own experience, I also know that it has decreased our attention span, and that is something that even if you are perfectly mentally mature in how you deal with your mental health, this is still a side effect that has affected a lot of us, especially here in college.
My freshman year, I was obsessed with TikTok, especially over COVID. That's when it really took off. I didn't have ADHD growing up, but going into my freshman year of college, I felt like I couldn't focus on anything. When you go on your phone looking for that instant gratification, and I feel like TikTok, it's like operant conditioning where it's like, but it's like you get a reward every time your phone lights up. Why are you getting happy? It's like Duolingo sending you a
notification. I feel that. It's not just TikTok, though, because I've avoided it like the plague. Mm-hmm. I remember during the pandemic when everyone was downloading it and telling each other about it, and then I was like, I will stay away from this poisonous madness. I love reading. But then it started, the short form video content started showing
Instagram
up in every single other platform. Yes.
Listen to this. I was hanging out with my sister yesterday for the first time in so long. We clicked on a YouTube short and we lost consciousness. We were just scrolling on YouTube shorts for like an hour and they weren't good. They weren't funny or anything. But every time you go on YouTube, it just takes you to shorts. And every time you go on Instagram, it takes you to Reels.
God.
You can't get away from it because I don't have TikTok either. But
Literally, when you open up the YouTube app, it immediately goes.
It shows you Reels first.
Yeah.
Like, Reels are part of the feed now.
Literally.
That is such a poison. Okay, I will say, even though I don't have TikTok, and I think maybe TikTok has like the best algorithm or something.
It does, it's really funny.
But I will spend countless hours on YouTube Shorts, or whatever it's called now, and not do my reading. I'll have it in front of me, and then I'll wait and finish the next short, and then the next one, and it's just a doom scroll, and I don't even have the actual app for it.
I found that it hurts with procrastination. It's definitely a method of putting things off, especially when you have feelings of anxiety about something. It instantaneously relieves it, but only worsens it in the end. And then it's just hard to be present with your thoughts and emotions when you're using social media. So I think that makes it very difficult.
I don't remember if it was you who said this or someone else, but someone said to me, people these days are not comfortable with being bored anymore.
That's so true.
That's such a good
I don't know if that was you or not.
That might have been me.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
But I feel like that's a really good way of looking at it because we live in an age where people don't really have hobbies anymore and everyone always needs to be doing something. We live in a society where we're always supposed to be working and being productive. And when you're not doing something, you feel like you're doing something wrong. But it's also okay to just sit and do nothing. There's nothing wrong with that inherently.
No, adding on to that, I feel the way that we entertain ourselves has changed. I mean, in the past, I don't know if you guys have heard from your teachers about how our reading level is dropping.
Oh, it's
like,
so bad.
Like, generation by generation, and I feel it myself. I cannot sit down and read a book like I used to, much less the people younger than me or older than me. But our parents used to, like, sit down and read. And then it became movies, which is, like, a 2-hour thing instead of a week-long or month-long thing. And then it became TV shows, which is less than an hour. And then, now it's, like,
it's like 10 seconds.
10 second videos, yeah.
In high school, I didn't have TikTok in high school where like I would off and on delete it. And I remember I had a really hard time watching The Godfather and I really wanted that to be my favorite movie. So I had to train myself to watch really, really boring movies to get my attention span back. And that actually worked for a while. So watch The Irishman because that was really boring.
Oh,
Okay. You have to train yourself to stop being addicted to the 10-second really funny thing and just watch the kind of painful thing.
I'll delete Instagram and then literally the next day I'll re-download it. My friends are like, oh, I sent you a reel on Instagram. You have to go look at it. And it's this constant cycle of never escaping Instagram and other social media as well.
I think banning it is definitely not the right way to go because as we've all mentioned, we've tried to delete it and we can't get away from it. I know I've also had that experience. Why haven't you responded to my short yet? And I'm like, because I don't want to open that app. I have things to do. In all honesty, I think the way to actually sort of deal with the problem is to confront it. This is a great way to just like having a conversation about it and then sort of recognize, nope, we're going to go on TikTok right after this podcast. No, but like...
Yeah, I kind of want to right now.
Oh, I'm so boring. I know.
I can introduce a new question.
Yeah,
sure.
You?
Yeah.
How does social media affect mental health?
I would say it makes you look at all the... Actually, I don't want to have that out there forever.
It definitely makes me very anxious. There's constantly just
something to see.
Yeah, there's always something to see. And if you always see everyone going out and having fun, doing things, kind of is like playing into that mindset of if you're not doing something, your life isn't, it's not fulfilled. And it's so stressful. You see your friends hanging out and you want to go hang out, but like maybe you're busy, you have to do homework. It's just very stressful all the time.
Regardless of how much jealousy I feel for other people that's on social media or how much of the perfect life that they're presenting, if I understand that it's sort of a curated image, I can kind of negate some of that. But it's still damaging to my mental health. You would be on there and then it would just be stressful. There's so much sights and sounds that you have to deal with and process. And then you're just not in your life. You're not mindful. I think that's the biggest thing that I've sort of noticed. Whenever I say I think social media is stressful, you have all these things to focus on and none of it is for you.
I just find that after going on social media, your mind is a bit cloudy and that things are all unclear. And for me personally, I am very big on spending my time wisely and not wasting my time because I know my time is limited. It's always frustrating when you go on Instagram or some other app for a long period of time and you just reflect and you say, what did I get out of that? Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
I've actually learned a lot from Instagram Reels.
No, but like, I think that's what they want you to think, is that you've learned a lot. Because every time you go on Instagram Reels, they're like, try this hack or like, do this. All of these tips and stuff, but it's not actually substantial. It doesn't really offer you anything. And it's something that you're probably going to forget within the next few days.
Not a few days, few seconds.
Literally.
I would have to disagree, actually.
Really? Okay.
On Instagram Reels, I learned that using a plastic cutting board scratches up the microplastics and then you eat them and that's not good for you. That's from Instagram Reels.
Is that going to save you?
You betcha. I think I do learn a lot from Instagram Reels. But you have to filter so much to get one good piece of information. You watch 2 hours of videos and you get maybe 6 good ones. And is it worth it?
No.
That's an interesting thing you said, that with a book, that takes a lot of effort to publish, but anybody can publish a social media video. I can say right now, okay, I want to publish a video of this, and it's out in the next minute. But you need to put more thought and consideration into putting out other works of media. I feel like I would encourage a transition to maybe more well-thought-out pieces of media.
I'm in this mass media law class right now that Sean actually was into and dropped, but they talk a lot about free speech versus how it can be moderated. And I think that it kind of is interesting because it's like, are these apps, should they be held accountable for ruining people's attention spans? I don't know if that's scientifically backed, but it seems so many people have experienced that it seems there is some grounding to that. Should we hold these websites accountable for this? Or is that taking away people's free speech? Because technically, you can post anything you want, but also if it's damaging to everyone, is that morally right?
This question that you posed is actually going to the Supreme Court, and they're going to decide whether social media companies are supposed to be regulated like newspapers, where they actually choose what content to go on the thing, and they have the power to regulate what they are able to say on their platform, or they're more like public forums where people can come on and just say whatever they want and they're just supposed to accept that it's a public thing of free speech. And I think that if people construct their ideas and send them out through mass media, like biological weapons, that's super well thought out, super viral, super catchy. But even without social media, people will have found ways to do that through different blog websites. All the things that have died because of social media, but those things have existed in the past. In a sense, I don't think these platforms are necessarily responsible.
I definitely think it's a point of contention and excited to like see what happens, because I feel like it's just a constantly developing thing. This is something that happened even within the past 6 months. It's been evolving a lot, but it is interesting bringing it back to the college context of how do we navigate this, because for a while when I was on Instagram all the time last year, I could not get any of my work done.
That's true.
And it was so bad. It makes my brain really hyperactive in a sense. It increases anxiety and it gives me a lot of energy. It makes
right.
me feel like I just took like a giant shot of espresso or something, and it's so bad. But then once I deleted social media, it was like, oh my God, my brain's back to normal. So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
It's about bringing it to equilibrium or whatever, because that's like dopamine spikes. Then you have too much and then your like baseline
exactly.
goes up, and then you have to be like depressed for a little bit, and then it goes down, and then you're fine. But people don't want to be depressed for a little bit, and that's the problem.
In response, there's a controversy currently going on about TikTok being owned by China, specifically TikTok being the subsidiary of a Chinese company called ByteDance. The United States Congress is concerned that China is controlling a lot of our information in the United States, and that could potentially lead to national security issues. And so they called in the CEO of TikTok, who is Singaporean and who works in Singapore, from what I've gathered, to question him on the effects or the influence of the Chinese Communist Party, henceforth referred to as the CCP, to see if these allegations are true. And I just thought the questioning was quite interesting. And so I've highlighted one particular exchange that I want to share that I think it's worth knowing. And then I'll go into sort of how that affects my view of TikTok. So the senator says, are you aware of Tiananmen Square? And the senator was probably trying to fish for a response saying, yes, but it's not that bad or something. The CEO said, yes, it's a well-documented massacre, which goes against the expectations for the response, right? But then the senator continues on his questioning and says, yes, you're right. It's a slaughter of hundreds of thousands of Chinese citizens. Do you agree with the Trump and Biden administration that the CCP is committing genocide against Uyghur Muslims? And my personal commentary on this is, wow, look at what the social media sort of short attention span has done to this senator, where he can switch topics so quickly. But the CEO took it in stride and said, I think it's really important to anyone who cares about these topics to be able to say that and their opinions on TikTok freely. And then the senator proceeds to say, huh, so you can't answer this simple question. That means you're the CCP and you support genocide. And I just thought this animosity against these social media companies is only for rhetoric and only for political convenience. Because if you have TikTok that is owned by a United States company like Instagram is currently, there is no such controversy. They aren't asking Mark Zuckerberg, are you part of the CCP? Are you poisoning the minds of our children? I mean, they kind of are, but they're not like racist about it.
There's a lot of embedded racism in like the ways that we approach stuff like this.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Like how much accountability, again, like do we put on the people who are providing this content? But also all of us, when we sign up for these apps, you're signing a contract where you're like, yeah, I agree to your terms and conditions, and you're acknowledging, maybe not that like your mental health will be at expense, but I think that there should be more government regulation in the ways that these companies can navigate things. But I don't think that this is something that we should be punishing companies for necessarily, but rather like our governments for not stepping in and actually putting in legislation that will help people.
Yeah.
The example that we brought up earlier, when you open up YouTube and you just get the YouTube shorts, why does that have to happen? Like, just get rid of Reels or something on YouTube, or get rid of Reels on Instagram. I feel like there's limits that they can put for the content, and our government isn't doing that.
Wait, I have to disagree here.
Please.
I don't think that we need to, you know, get all like, ooh, about it. But I think that we should just give people the option to opt out. I don't see why that's so hard. People didn't used to have Instagram Reels, and then they put it there, and now you can't get rid of it. So why don't you just make it go away?
Well, that's the thing with like legislation, is creating that like
oh, a legal precedent to do
that? Yeah, like they legally have to let you opt out.
In any way, it would be a smart like decision for those companies to implement something like that instead of cornering everyone into short form content.
But here's the reasoning behind it, is then they can make money off of it. That's why a lot of these companies are doing this, because the longer you are on these apps, the more money they generate and the more content they produce and the more outreach the brands get. And so it's just this continuous cycle of brands benefiting one another.
That's actually true too. Here's my next point. You and me would both go on Instagram a lot more often if we didn't have reels on there. Instagram is a fun.
That's not true.
That's really true.
I would actually just never go on.
Instagram is really fun. It's not fun when you're stuck on it for 6 hours a day.
That's the point. They don't care about you having fun. They care about you being on their phone.
Yeah, you're like the product for their advertisers. They're like serving their customers,
yes.
Which is like the advertisers giving them money, and you're their product. No, but I agree with that. Thank you for bringing my point to an actual point of like politicians should be actually writing these statutory codes and sort of giving us good public policy instead of making this all about politics.
Instead of pointing the finger at other people. The last point that I just wanted to bring up, people just don't have hobbies anymore. We went around the other day. It was like the first day of classes. My TA was like, okay, everyone, say your major, your name, and one interesting thing about you. Half of the class just was like, oh, I don't have hobbies. I just scroll on TikTok.
Instagram.
I literally, yeah.
No, but that's also me. I've seen that myself, like, so many times.
That's just scary to me.
Okay, I'm not one of those people, actually. But my scary thing is when you're on the bus or something, or you're walking, and you see someone walking and looking on their phone, like, on reels at the same time. You look, how can you not? Like, that's, like, an at-home doom-scrolling activity. That's not, like, an outside thing. Like, people are very detached from, like, participating in real life. There's more than the phone.
Going on your phone has just become so instinctual as a problem. Is say if you're in a waiting room where there's just really a brief second, in a brief moment, that the instinct is just to pull out your phone, and 99% of the time is not something that's important.
No.
And so you end up...
No, you're looking at the settings page for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, if you observe people that if they really come across any moment of free time, they just pull out their phone and just...
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's not something that's really important.
Not
but,
at all.
But it's just how it goes, and that's important to give it more consideration. It's like, why am I pulling out my phone? What am I doing? What am I trying to accomplish here? If you can't find a good reason, then maybe you just shouldn't.
Maybe you shouldn't
put it down. Hopefully we've dissuaded the audience to not using social media.
I said Instagram is awesome like 4 times.
I think it just goes to show it really is an individual decision. If you want to stop using social media and gain hobbies and live a meaningful life, that is something that you have to take upon yourself.
You can't rely on regulations and other things to prevent you from going on your phone. It has to be your own personal choice.
Exactly. That concludes the second ever episode of The Daily Dissuasion. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.